The ceremony takes the better part of an hour, and I have to stand through all of it alongside Evangeline and the rest of the bridal parade. Maven and Iris trade words back and forth, oaths and pledges, urged on by a Norton judge. A woman in plain indigo robes speaks as well. From the Lakelands, I assume. Maybe an envoy of their gods? I hardly listen. All I can think about is an army in red and blue, marching across the world. Clouds continue to roll in, each one darker than the last as they pass the dome overhead. And each one disintegrates. The storm wants to break, but it just can't seem to. I know the feeling. From this day until my last day, I pledge myself to you, Iris of House Signet, Princess of the Lakelands. In front of me, Maven holds out his hand. Fire licks at the tips of his fingers, gentle and weak as candle flame. I could blow it out if I tried. From this day until my last day, I pledge myself to you, Maven of House Calor, King of Norta. Iris mirrors his action, putting out her own hand. Her white sleeve, edged in bright blue, falls back gracefully, exposing more of her smooth arm as it leaches moisture from the air. A sphere of clear, trembling water fills her palm. When she joins hands with Maven, one ability destroys the other without even the hiss of steam or smoke. A peaceful union is made, and sealed with a brush of their lips. He doesn't kiss her the way he kissed me. Any fire he might have is far away. I wish I were too. The applause shudders in me, loud as a thunderclap. Most people cheer. I don't blame them. This is the last nail in the coffin of the Lakelander War. Even though reds died in the thousands, the millions, silvers died too. I won't begrudge them their celebrations of peace. Another rumble sounds as many seats around the royal court shift, pushing back along stone. I flinch, wondering if we're about to be crushed in a tide of well-wishers. Instead, sentinels press in. I clutch at Iris's train like a lifeline, letting her swift motions pull me through the heaving crowd and back out into Caesar Square. Of course, the crush of noise only increases tenfold. Flags wave, cheers erupt, and sprinkles of paper drift down on us. I dip my head, trying to block it out. Instead, my ears start to ring. The sound doesn't go away, no matter how much I shake my head. One of the Arvens takes my elbow, her fingers digging into flesh as more and more people press in around us. The sentinels shout something, instructing the crowd to stay back. Maven turns to look over his shoulder, his face flushed gray in excitement, or nerves, or both. The ringing intensifies, and I have to let go of Iris's train to cover my ears. It does nothing except slow me down, pulling me out of her circle of safety. She carries on, arm in arm with her new husband, with Evangeline trailing them both. The tide separates us. Maven sees me stop and raises an eyebrow, his lips parting to ask a question. He steps slow. Then the sky turns black. Storm clouds bloom, dark and heavy, arcing over us like an inferno smoke. Lightning streaks across the clouds, bolts tinged white and blue and green, each one jagged, vicious, destructive, unnatural. My heartbeat roars loud enough to drown out the crowd, but not the thunder. The sound rattles in my chest, so close and so explosive, it shakes the air. I taste it on my tongue. I don't get to see the next thunderbolt before Kitten and Clover throw me to the ground, our dresses be damned. They pin my shoulders, digging into aching muscles with their hands and their ability. Silence floods my body, fast and strong enough to push the air from my lungs. I gasp, struggling to breathe. My fingers scrabble over the tiled ground, feeling for something to grab. If I could breathe, I would laugh. This is not the first time someone has held me down in Caesar Square. Another clap of thunder, another flash of blue light. The resulting push of Arvin silence almost makes me vomit up my guts.
"Don't kill her, Janny, don't!"
Clover growls. Janny. Kitten's real name. It'll be our heads if she dies.
It's not me, I try to choke out. It's not me.
If Kitten and Clover can hear, they don't show it. Their pressure never lessens, a new constant of pain. Unable to scream, I force my head up, looking for someone to help me, looking for Maven. He'll stop this. I hate myself for thinking it. Legs cross my vision, black uniforms, civilian colors, and distant fleeing red-orange robes. The sentinels keep moving, tight in their formation. Like at the banquet that ended in a near assassination, they spring into well-practiced action, focused on their one and only purpose, defend the king. They change direction quickly, herding Maven not toward the palace but to the treasury, to his train, to his escape. Escape from what? The freak storm isn't mine. The lightning isn't mine.
Follow the king.
Kitten, Janny, snarls. She hoists me onto wobbly legs, and I almost fall again. The Arvins don't let me. Neither does the sudden wall of uniformed officers. They surround me in diamond formation, perfect for cutting through the surging crowd. The Arvins lessen their pulsing ability, if only to allow me to walk. We push on as one while the lightning overhead intensifies. No rain yet. And it's not nearly hot enough or arid enough for dry lightning. Strange. If only I could feel it. Use it. Draw the jagged lines out of the sky and obliterate every single person around me. The crowd is perplexed. Most look up. A few point. Some try to back away but find themselves hemmed in by one another. I glance between the faces, looking for an explanation. I see only confusion and fear. If the crowd panics, I wonder if even the security officers can stop them from trampling us. Up ahead, Maven sentinels widen the gap between us. A few have taken to tossing people. A strong arm bodily shoves a man back several yards, while a Telki sweeps away three or four with a wave of her hand. The crowd gives them a wide berth after that, clearing the space around the fleeing king and new queen. Through the tumult, I catch his eyes as he looks back to search for me. They are wide and wild now, vividly blue even from so far away. His lips move, shouting something I can't hear over the thunder and the rising panic. "Hurry!" Clover barks, pushing me onward toward the gap. Our guards become aggressive, their abilities presenting. A swift lunges back and forth, pressing people back from our path. He blurs between bodies, a whirlwind, and then he stops cold. The gunshot catches the swift between the eyes. Too close to dodge, too fast to escape. His head snaps back in an arc of blood and brain. I don't know the woman holding the gun. She has blue hair, jagged blue tattoos, and a bloody crimson scarf wrapped around her wrist. The crowd shudders around her, shocked for an instant, before springing into full-blown chaos. With one hand still aiming her pistol, the blue-haired woman raises the other. Lightning rips out of the sky. It crashes toward the circle of sentinels. She has deadly aim. I tense, expecting an explosion. Instead, the blue-tinged lightning hits a sudden arc of shimmering water, running across the liquid, but not through. It veins and flashes, almost blinding, but disappears in an instant, leaving only the watery shield. Beneath it, Maven, Evangeline, and even the sentinels crouch, hands over their heads. Only Iris is left standing. The water pools around her, curling and twisting like one of Laurentia's snakes. It grows with every second, leaching so quickly I taste the air drying on my tongue. Iris wastes no time, tearing off her veil. Dimly, I hope it doesn't rain. I don't want to know what Iris can do with rain. Lakelander guards fight through the crowd, their dark blue forms trying to break through the fleeing crowd. Security officers meet the same obstacle and get caught up, tangled in the mess. Silvers dart in every direction, some toward the commotion, others away from danger. I'm torn between wanting to run with them and wanting to run toward the blue-haired woman. My brain buzzes as adrenaline courses through me, fighting tooth and nail against the silence smothering my being. Lightning. She wields lightning. She's a new blood, like me. The thought almost makes me cry with happiness. If she doesn't get out of here fast, she'll end up a corpse.
Run!
I try to scream. It comes out a whisper.
Get the king to safety!
Evangeline's voice carries as she jumps to her feet. Her gown quickly shifts into armor, scaling across her skin in pearly plates.
Evacuate!
A few of the sentinels comply, pulling Maven into their protective formation. His hand sparks with weak flame. It sputters, matching his fear. The rest of his detail draw guns of their own, or explode into their abilities. A banshee sentinel opens his mouth to scream, but drops to a knee, gasping. He tears at his throat. He can't breathe. But why? Who? His comrades drag him back as he continues to choke. Another lightning bolt streaks overhead, this one too bright to look at. When I open my eyes again, the blue-haired woman is gone, lost in the crowd. Somewhere, gunfire peppers the air. Gasping, I realize not everyone in the crowd is running away. Not all of them are afraid or even confused by the outburst of violence. They move differently, with purpose, motive, a mission. Black pistols gleam, flashing as they dig into a guard's back or stomach. Knives glint in the growing dark. The screams of fear become screams of pain. Bodies fall, slumping against the tile of the square. I remember the riots in Somerton. Reds hunted down and tortured, a mob turning on the weakest among them. It was disorganized, chaotic, without any order. This is the opposite. What looks like wild panic is the careful work of a few dozen assassins in a crowd of hundreds. With a grin, I realize they all have something in common. As the hysteria grows, each one dons a red scarf. The Scarlet Guard is here. Cal, Killorn, Farley, Cameron, Bree, Tramie, the Colonel. They're here. With everything I have, I butt my head back and crack my skull against Clover's nose. She howls, and silver blood spurts down her face. In an instant, her grip on me breaks, leaving only Kitten. I drive an elbow into her gut, hoping to throw her off. She lets go of my shoulder, only to wrap her arm around my neck and squeeze. I twist, trying to get enough room to bend my neck and bite. No chance. She increases the pressure, threatening to crush my windpipe. My vision spots, and I feel myself being pulled backward, away from the treasury, Maven, his sentinels, through the lethal crowd. I trip backward as we reach the steps. I kick weakly, trying to catch on to anything. The security officers dodge my poor efforts. Some drop to their knees, guns raised, covering the retreat. Clover looms over me, the bottom half of her face painted with mirrored blood.
Double back through Whitefire. We have to keep orders.
She hisses at Kitten. I try to shout for help, but I can't summon air enough to make noise, and it wouldn't be any use. Something louder than thunder screams across the sky. Two somethings. Three. Six. Metal birds with razor wings. Snapdragons? The Black Run? But these air jets look different from the ones I know. Sleeker. Faster. Maven's new fleet, probably. In the distance, an explosion blooms with petals of red fire and black smoke. Are they bombing the square or bombing the Scarlet Guard? As the Arvins drag me into the palace, another silver almost collides with us. I reach out. Maybe this person will help. Samson Miranda sneers down, wrenching one arm out of my grip. I pull back like his touch burns. Just the sight of him is enough to bring on a splitting headache. He wasn't allowed to attend the wedding, but he's still dressed for it, immaculate in a navy suit, with his ash-blonde hair slicked to his skull. "Loser, and I'll turn you all inside out!" he snarls over his shoulder. The Arvins look more frightened of him than of anyone else. They nod vigorously, as do the three remaining officers. All of them know what a Miranda's whisper can do. If I needed any more incentive to escape, knowing that Samson will obliterate their minds is certainly it. In my last glimpse of the square, black shadows loom out of the clouds, coming closer and closer. More airships, but these are heavy, swollen, not built for speed or even combat. Maybe they're coming into land. I never see them touch down. I fight as much as I can, which is to say I mumble and squirm under the weight of silence. It slows my guards down, but only a little. Every inch feels hard-won but futile. We keep moving. The halls of Whitefire spiral out around us,
With my memorization, I know exactly where we are headed. Toward the East Wing, the closest part of the palace to the treasury. There must be passages to it, another way to Maven's forsaken train. Any hope of escape will disappear the second they get me underground. 3 gunshots ring out, echoing so close I feel them in my chest. Whatever's happening in the square is slowly bleeding into the palace. In the window, red flame bursts into the air. From an explosion or a person, I don't know. I can only hope. Cal, I'm in here. Cal! I picture him just outside, an inferno of rage and destruction. Gun in one hand, fire in the other, bringing down all his pain and fury. If he can't save me, I hope he can at least rip apart the monster that used to be his brother. The rebels are storming Whitefire! I jolt at the sound of Evangeline Samos. Her boots ring hard against the marble floor, each step the blow of an angry hammer. Silver blood stains the left side of her face, and her elaborate hair is a mess, tangled and windblown. She smells like smoke. Her brother is nowhere to be found, but she isn't alone. Ren, the Skono skin healer, who spent so many days trying to make me look alive, trails her closely. Probably dragged along to make sure Evangeline doesn't have to suffer scratches for more than an instant. Like Cal and Maven, Evangeline is no stranger to military training or protocol. She stays on her toes, ready to react. The lower library and old gallery are overrun. We have to take her this way. She points her chin to a branching hall perpendicular to ours. Outside, lightning flashes. It reflects against her armor. You three! She snaps her fingers at 3 of the guards. Defend our backs! My heart sinks in my chest. Evangeline will personally make sure I get on that train. I'm going to kill you one day. I curse at her around Kitten's grip. She lets the threat glance off, too busy barking orders. The guards obey eagerly, dropping back to cover our retreat. They're happy to have someone take charge in this infernal mess. What's happening out there? Clover growls as we hurry along. Fear corrupts her voice. You! Reset my nose! She adds, grabbing Ren by the arm. The Skono skin healer works on the fly, popping Clover's broken nose back into place with an audible crack. Evangeline looks over her shoulder, not at Clover but at the passage behind us. It darkens as the storm outside turns day to night. Fear crosses her face, an unfamiliar thing to see in her. There were plants in the crowd, disguised as silver nobles, new bloods, we think, strong enough to hold their own until... She checks around a corner before waving us on. The Scarlet Guard took over Corvium, but I didn't think they had this many people. True soldiers, trained, well-armed, dropped right out of the sky like damn insects. How did they get in? We're under full security protocols for the wedding. Over 1,000 silver troops, plus Maven's new blood pets. Kitten blusters. She cuts herself off as 2 figures in white pop out of a doorway. The weight of their silence slams into me, making my knees buckle. Kaz, Brecker, with us. I think Egg and Trio are better names. They skid across the marble floor, sprinting to join my moving prison. If I had the energy, I would weep. 4 Arvins and Evangeline. Any whisper of hope disappears. It won't even help to beg. They can't win. It's a lost cause. Clover presses on. They're not here to win the capital. They're here for her. Evangeline snaps. Egg shoves me onward. Waste of effort for this sack of bones. We round another corner, to the long, stretching battle hall. Compared to the turmoil in the square, it seems serene, its painted scenes of war far away from the chaos. They tower, dwarfing all of us in their old grandeur. If not for the distant sound of screaming air jets and concussive thunder, I could trick myself into believing all that was a dream. Indeed, Evangeline says. Her steps falter so slightly the others don't notice. But I do. What a waste of effort. She twists with smooth, feline grace, both hands darting out. I see it all as if time itself has slowed. The plates of her armor fly from both wrists, quick and deadly as bullets. Their edges gleam, sharpening to razors. They hiss through air and flesh. The sudden drop of silence feels like the lifting of immense weight. Clover's arm falls from my neck, her grip slack. She falls too. Foreheads tumble to the floor, leaking blood. The bodies follow, all in white, hands gloved in plastic. Their eyes are open. They never had a chance. Blood. The smell, the sight, assaults my senses, and I taste bile rising in my throat. The only thing that keeps me from retching is the jagged spike of fear and realization. Evangeline isn't going to take me to the train. She's going to kill me. She's going to end this. She looks shockingly calm for having just murdered four of her own. The plates of metal return to her arms, sliding back into place. Ren, the skin healer, doesn't move, her eyes on the ceiling. She won't watch what's going to happen next. It will be no use to run. I might as well face it. "Get in my way, and I'll kill you slowly," she whispers, stepping over a corpse to grab me by the neck. Her breath washes over me, warm, tinged with mint. Little lightning girl. "Then get it over with," I force through my teeth. At this range, I realize her eyes are not black, but charcoal gray. Storm cloud eyes. They narrow as she tries to decide how to kill me. It will have to be by hand. My manacles won't let her abilities touch my skin. But a single knife will do the trick just fine. I hope it's quick, though I doubt she has enough mercy for such a thing. "Ren, if you please," Evangeline says, putting out her hand. Instead of a dagger, the skin healer pulls a key from a pocket on Trio's now headless corpse. She presses it into Evangeline's palm. I go numb. You know what this is. How could I not? I have dreamed of that key. I'm going to make you a bargain. Make it, I whisper, my eyes never wavering from the spiky bit of black iron. I'll give you anything. Evangeline grabs my jaw, forcing me to look at her. I've never seen her so desperate, not even in the arena. Her eyes waver and her lower lip trembles. You lost your brother. Don't take mine. Rage flares in my stomach. Anything but that. Because I've dreamed of Ptolemus too. Slitting his throat, cutting him apart, electrocuting him. He killed Shade. A life for a life. A brother for a brother. Her fingers dig into my skin, nails threatening to pierce flesh. You lie and I'll kill you where you stand. Then I'll kill the rest of your family. Somewhere in the twisting halls of the palace, the echoes of battle rise. Mare Barrow, make your choice. Let Ptolemus live. He'll live, I croak out. Swear it. I swear it. Tears gather as she moves, quickly sliding off one manacle after the other. Evangeline tosses each one as far as she can. By the time she finishes, I'm a weeping mess. Without the manacles, the silent stone, the world feels empty. Weightless, I'm afraid I might float away. Still, the weakness is almost debilitating, worse than my last escape attempt. 6 months of it will not disappear in an instant. I try to reach with my ability, try to feel the light bulbs above my head. I can barely sense the buzz of them. I doubt I could even shut them off, something I used to take for granted. Thank you, I whisper, words I never thought I would say to her. They unsettle us both. You want to thank me, Barrow? She mutters, kicking away the last of my bindings. Then keep your word, and let this fucking place burn. Before I can tell her I'll be of no use, that I'll need days, weeks, months to recover, Ren puts her hands to my neck. I realize now why Evangeline dragged a skin healer along. Not for herself, for me. Warmth bleeds down my spine, into my veins and bones and marrow. It pounds through me so completely I almost expect the healing to hurt. I drop to a knee, overtaken. The aches vanish. The trembling fingers, weak legs, sluggish pulse, every last ghost of silent stone flees before the touch of a healer. My head will never forget what happened to me, but my body quickly does. The electricity rushes back, thundering from the deepest part of me. Every nerve shrieks to life. All down the hallway, the light bulbs shatter on their chandeliers. The hidden cameras explode into sparks and spitting wires. Ren jumps back, yelping. I look down to see purple and white. Naked electricity jumps between my fingers, hissing in the air. The push and pull is achingly familiar. My ability, my strength, my power has returned. Evangeline takes a measured step back. Her eyes reflect my sparks. They glow. Keep your promise, Lightning Girl. Darkness walks with me. Every light sizzles and blinks out as I pass. Glass shatters. Electricity spits. The air buzzes like a live wire. It caresses my open palms, and I shiver at the feel of such power. I thought I had forgotten what this was like, but that's impossible. I can forget almost everything else in this world, but not my lightning, not who and what I am. The manacles made it exhausting to walk. Without them weighing me down, I fly. Toward the smoke, the danger, to what could finally be my salvation or my ending. I don't care which, so long as I'm not stuck in this hellish prison 1 second longer. My dress flutters in ruby tatters, ripped enough to let me run as fast as I can. The sleeves smolder, burning with every new burst of sparks. I don't hold myself back now. The lightning goes where it wants. It explodes through me with every heartbeat. The purple-white bolts and sparks dance along my fingers, blazing in and out of my palms. I shudder in pleasure. Nothing has ever felt so wonderful. I keep looking at the electricity, enamored with every vein. It's been so long. It's been so long. This must be what hunters feel like. Every corner I turn, I hope to find some kind of prey. I run the shortest route I know, tearing through the council chamber, its empty seats haunting me as I sprint over the Norton seal. If I had time, I would obliterate the symbol beneath my feet, tear up every inch of the burning crown. But I have a real crown to kill, because that's what I'm going to do. If Maven is still here, if the wretched boy hasn't gotten away, I'm going to watch his last breath and know he can never hold my leash again. The security officers retreat in my direction, their backs to me, still doing as Evangeline commanded. All three have their long guns tucked into the crooks of their shoulders, fingers on triggers as they cover the passageway. I don't know their names, just their colors. House Greco, strong arms all. They don't need bullets to kill me. One of them could break my back, crush my ribcage, pop my skull like a grape. It's me or them. The first hears my footsteps. He turns his chin, looking over his shoulder. My lightning shrieks up his spine and into his brain. I feel his branching nerves for a split second, then darkness. The other two react, swinging around to face me. The lightning is quicker than they are, splitting them both. I never break pace, vaulting over their smoking bodies. The next hall runs alongside the square, its once gleaming windows streaked with ash. A few chandeliers lie smashed against the floor in twisted heaps of gold and glass. There are bodies, too. Security officers in their black uniforms, Scarlet Guard with their red scarves. The aftermath of a skirmish, one of many raging within the larger battle. I check the closest guardsman to me, reaching down to feel her neck. No pulse. Her eyes are closed. I'm glad I don't recognize her. Outside, another burst of blue lightning forks through the clouds. I can't help but grin, the corners of my mouth pulling sharply on my scars. Another new blood who can control lightning. I'm not alone. Moving quickly, I take what I can off the bodies. A pistol and ammunition from an officer, a red scarf from the woman. She died for me. Another time, Mare. I chide myself, pushing aside the quicksand of such thoughts. Using my teeth, I tie the scarf to my wrist. Bullets ping against the windows, a spray of them. I flinch, dropping to the floor, but the windows hold firm. Diamond glass, bulletproof. I'm safe behind them, but also trapped. Never again. I slide up against the wall, trying not to be seen as I observe. The sight makes me gasp. What was once a wedding celebration is now all-out war. I was in awe of the House Rebellion, Iral and Haven and Laris against the rest of Maven's court, but this dwarfs it substantially. Hundreds of Norton officers, Lakelander guards, deadly nobles of the court on one side, with Scarlet Guard soldiers on the other. There have to be new bloods among them. So many red soldiers, more than I ever thought possible. They outnumber the Silvers at least 5 to 1, and they are certainly Clearly, soldiers, trained to military precision, from their tactical gear to the way they move. I start to wonder how they even got here, but then I see the airships. 6 of them, all landed directly on the square itself. Each one spits soldiers, dozens of them. Hope and excitement roar through me. Hell of a rescue. I can't help but whisper. And I'm going to make sure it succeeds. I'm not Silver. I don't need to pull my ability from my surroundings. But it certainly doesn't hurt to have more electricity, more power on hand. Closing my eyes just for a second, I call to every wire, every pulse, every charge down to the static cling of the curtains. It rises at my demand. It fuels me, heals me as much as Ren. After 6 months of darkness, I finally feel the light. Purple-white flares at the edges of my vision. My entire body buzzes, skin shivering beneath the delight of lightning. I keep sprinting, adrenaline and electricity. I feel like I could run through a wall. More than a dozen security officers guard the entrance hall. One, a magnetron, busies himself boarding up the windows with cages of twisted chandelier and gilt paneling. Bodies and blood in both colors cover the floor. The smell of gunpowder overwhelms everything but the blasts outside. The officers secure the palace, maintaining their position. Their attention is on the battle outside, the square, not their backs. Crouching, I put my hands to the marble beneath my feet. It feels cold beneath my fingers. I will my lightning against the stone, sending it out along the floor in a jagged ripple of electricity. It pulses, a wave, catching them all off guard. Some fall, some rocket backward. The strength of the blast echoes in my chest. If it's enough to kill, I don't know. My only thought is the square. When the open air hits my lungs, I almost laugh. It's poisoned with ash, blood, the electric buzz of the lightning storm. But it tastes sweeter than anything. Above me, the black clouds rumble. The sound lives in my bones. I streak purple-white bolts across the sky. A sign, the Lightning Girl is free. I don't linger. Standing on the steps, overlooking the turmoil, is a good way to get shot in the head. I plunge into the fray, looking for a single familiar face. Not friendly, but at least familiar. People collide all around me with no rhyme or reason. The Silvers were taken unawares, unable to form up into their practiced ranks. Only the Scarlet Guard soldiers have any kind of organization, but it's rapidly breaking down. I weave toward the treasury, the last place I saw Maven and his sentinel. It was only a few minutes ago. They could still be there, surrounded, making a stand. I will kill him. I have to. Bullets whistle past my head. I'm shorter than most, but still, I hunch as I run. The first Silver to challenge me head-on has provost robes, gold and black, a thin man with thinner hair. He throws out an arm and I rocket backward, my head slamming against the tiled ground. I grin at him, about to laugh, when suddenly I can't breathe. My chest contracts, tightening, my ribs. I look up to find him standing over me, his hand clenching into a fist. The Telkie is going to collapse my ribcage. Lightning rises to meet him, sparking angrily. He dodges, faster than I anticipated. My vision spots as the lack of oxygen hits my brain. Another bolt, another dodge. Provost is so focused on me, he doesn't notice the barrel-chested red soldier a few yards away. He shoots him through the head with an armor-piercing round. It isn't pretty. Silver spatters across my ruined gown. "Mare!" he shouts, hurrying to my side. I recognize his voice, his dark brown face, and his electric blue eyes. 4 other guardsmen move with him. They circle up, protective. With strong hands, he hoists me to my feet. Forcing a breath, I shiver in relief. When my brother's smuggling friend became a true soldier, I don't know. But now isn't the time to ask. "Krantz!" One hand still on his gun, he raises the radio clawed in his other fist. "This is Krantz. I have Barrow in the square." The hiss of empty feedback is not promising. "Repeat, I have Barrow." Cursing, he tucks the radio back into his belt. "Channels are a mess. Too much interference." From the storm? I glance up again. Blue, white, green. I narrow my eyes and throw another bolt of purple into the crash of blinding color. "Probably. Cal warned us." Air hisses through my teeth. I grab him tightly, making him flinch. "Cal, Where is he? I have to get you out. Where?
He sighs, knowing I won't ask again.
He's on the ground. I don't know where exactly. Your rendezvous point is the main gate.
He shouts in my ear, making sure he can be heard.
5 minutes. Grab the woman in green. Take this,
he adds, shrugging out of his heavy jacket. I pull it over my tattered dress without argument. It feels weighted.
Flak jacket. Semi-bulletproof. It'll give you some cover.
My feet carry me away before I can even say thank you, leaving Krantz and his detail in my wake. Cal is here, somewhere. He'll be hunting Maven just like me. The crowd surges, a swiftly changing tide. If not for the guardsmen pushing through the fray, I could force my way through, blast everyone in front of me, clear a path across the square. Instead, I rely on my old instincts. Dancing steps, agility, predicting every pulsing wave of the chaos. Lightning trails in my wake, staving off any hands. A strong arm knocks me sideways, sending me careening through arms and legs, but I don't return to fight him. I keep moving, keep pushing, keep running. One name screams through my head. Cal. 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 If I can get to him, I'll be safe. A lie, maybe, but a good lie. The smell of smoke gets stronger as I push on. Hope flares. Where there's smoke, there's a fire prince. Ash and soot streak the white walls of the treasury hall. One of the airjet missiles took a chunk out of the corner, slicing through marble like butter. It lies in a pile of rubble around the entrance, forming good cover. The sentinels make full use of it, their ranks bolstered by the Lakelanders and a few of the purple-uniformed treasury guards. Some of them fire into the oncoming guardsmen, using bullets to defend their king's escape, and many more utilize their abilities. I dart around a few bodies frozen solid on their feet, the violent work of a Glyakon shiver. Another few are alive but on their knees, bleeding from the ears. Marinos Banshee. The evidence of so many deadly Silvers is all around. Corpses speared by metal, necks broken, skulls caved in, mouths dripping water. A particularly gruesome body that seems to have choked on the plants growing out of its mouth. As I watch, a greenie throws a handful of seeds at an attacking swath of Scarlet Guard. Before my eyes, the seeds burst like grenades, spitting vines and thorns in a verdant explosion. I don't see Cal here, or any other faces I recognize. Maven is already in the treasury, headed for the train. Clenching a fist, I throw everything I can at the sentinels. My lightning crackles along the rubble, sending them scurrying back. Dimly, I hear someone shout to push forward. The guardsmen do, continuing to fire round after round. I keep up the pressure, sending another blaze of lightning across them like a cracking whip.
Incoming!
A voice screams. I look up, expecting a blow from the sky. Air jets dance through the stormy clouds, chasing one another. None of them seem concerned by us. Then someone pushes me aside, throwing me out of the way. I turn in time to see a person I recognize barrel along a cleared pathway, his head lowered, body armored on the head, neck, and shoulders. He picks up speed, legs pumping.
Darmian!
He doesn't hear me, too busy crashing toward the marble blockade. Bullets ping off his armor and skin. A shiver sends a blast of icicles at his chest, but they shatter. If he's afraid, he doesn't show it. He never hesitates. Cal taught him that, back at the Notch, when we were all together. I remember a different Darmian then, the one I knew. He was a quiet man compared to Nyx, another new blood who shared his ability of impenetrable flesh. Nyx is long dead now, but Darmian is very much alive. Roaring, he clambers over the marble blockade, careening into two sentinels. They fall on him with everything they have. Stupid. They might as well be shooting at bulletproof glass. Darmian responds in kind, dropping grenades with cold rhythm. They bloom in fire and smoke. Sentinels fall backward, few of them able to withstand a direct explosion. Guardsmen vault over the rubble, following in Darmian's wake. Many overtake him. The sentinels are not their mission. Maven is. They flood into the treasury, hot on the king's trail. As I run forward, I let my ability press on ahead. I feel the lights of the treasury's main hall spiraling down into the rock beneath us. My sense jumps along the wires,
deeper and deeper. Something big idles below, its engine a rising purr. He's still here. The marble beneath my feet is easy to scale. I scrabble over the rubble on all fours, my mind focused 100 feet down. The next grenade blast catches me unawares. Its force blows me backward in a wave of heat. I land hard, flat on my back, gasping for breath, quietly thankful for Krantz's jacket. The explosion blazes over me, close enough to burn my cheek. Too big for a grenade, too controlled for natural flame. I scramble to my feet, forcing my legs to obey as I suck down air. Maven, I should have known. He wouldn't leave me up here, wouldn't run away without his favorite pet. He's come to put the chains back on me himself. Good luck. Smoke follows the swirling fire, making the already dark square hazy. It surrounds me, growing stronger and hotter with every passing second. Tensing, I send lightning through my nerves, letting it crackle over every inch. I take a step toward his silhouette, black and strange in the shifting firelight. The smoke curls, the fire shooting with raging hot blue flame. Sweat drips down my neck. My fists clench, ready to run him through with every drop of rage collected in his prison. I've been waiting for this moment. Maven is a cunning king, but no fighter. I'm going to rip him apart. Lightning ripples over our heads, flashing brighter than the flame. It illuminates him as the wind picks up, blowing away the smoke to reveal red-gold eyes, broad shoulders, calloused hands, familiar lips, unruly black hair, and a face I have ached for. Not Maven. All thoughts of the boy king disappear in an instant. Cal! The fireball hisses through the air, almost engulfing my head. I roll beneath it on instinct alone. Confusion rules my brain. He's unmistakable. Cal, standing there in tactical armor, a red sash tied across him from waist to hip. I fight the animal need to run toward him. It takes every fiber of control to step back. Cal, it's me! It's Mare! He doesn't speak, just pivots on his feet, keeping me in front of him. The fire around us churns and contracts, pulling inward with blinding speed. The heat crushes the air from my lungs, and I choke down smoke. Only lightning keeps me safe, crackling around me in a shield of electricity to keep me from burning alive. I roll again, bursting through his inferno. My dress smolders, trailing smoke. I don't waste precious time or brain power trying to figure out what's going on. I already know. His eyes are shadowed, unfocused, no recognition in them. No indication that we've spent the last 6 months trying to get back to each other. And his movements are robotic, even compared to his military-trained precision. A whisper has his mind. I don't have to guess which one. I'm sorry, I mumble, even though he can't hear me. A blast of lightning throws him back. The sparks dancing over the plates of his armor. He seizes, twitching as the electricity pulls on his nerves. I bite my lip, trying harder than I ever have before to walk the narrow line between incapacitation and injury. I err on the weak side. A mistake. Cal is stronger than I ever realized, and he has such an advantage. I'm trying to save him. He's trying to kill me. He fights through the pain, charging. I dodge, my focus shifting from keeping him at bay to keeping out of his crushing grip. A fire-fueled punch arcs over my head. I smell burned hair. Another catches me in the stomach, and I fall backward. I roll with the momentum and pop up again, my old tricks returning. With a twist of my hand, I send another bolt of sparks dancing up his leg and into his spine. He howls. The sound cuts my insides, but it gives me a head start. My focus narrows to one thing, one person's devilish face. Samson Mirandus. He has to be close enough to bewitch Cal and send him after me. I search the battle as I run, looking for his blue suit. If he's here, he's hiding well. Or he could be perched above, looking down from the treasury roof or the many windows of the adjoining buildings. Frustration eats at my resolve. Cal's right here. We're back together. And he's trying to kill me. The heat of his rage licks at my heels. Another blast rips along my left, sending needles of white-hot agony down my arm. Adrenaline drowns it out quickly. I can't afford pain right now. At least I'm faster than he is. After the manacles, every step feels easier than the last. I let the storm above fuel me, feeding on the electric energy of the other lightning-wielding new blood somewhere. Her blue hair doesn't cross my vision again. Too bad. I could use her right now. If Samson is hiding near the treasury, I only have to get Cal out of his circle of influence. Skidding, I turn to look over my shoulder. Cal is still following me, a shadow of blue-tinged flame and anger. "Come and get me, Kalor!" I shout to him, sending a blast of lightning at his chest. Stronger than the last, enough to leave a mark. He twists sideways, dodging, never breaking step. Hot on my trail. I hope this works. No one dares get in our way. Red and blue and purple, fire and lightning, chase in our wake, splitting the battle like a knife. He pursues with the singular resolve of a hunting dog, and I certainly feel hunted across the square. I angle for the main gate, to whatever rendezvous Krantz mentioned, my escape. Not that I'll take it yet. Not without Cal. After 100 yards, it's clear that Samson is running with us, just out of sight. No Miranda's whisper has a bigger range than that, not even Alara. I twist back and forth, scanning the bloodbath. The longer the battle pushes on, the more time the Silvers have to organize. Army soldiers in clouded gray uniforms flood the square, systematically winning over pieces of it. Most of the nobles retreat behind the wall of military protection, though a few, the strongest, the bravest, the most bloodthirsty, continue fighting. I expect members of House Samos to be in the thick of it, but I see no magnetrons that I recognize. And still, no other familiar members of the Scarlet Guard. No Farley, no Colonel, no Kalorn or Cameron, or any of the new bloods I helped recruit. Just Darmian. Probably blasting his way through the treasury. And Cal, trying his best to put me in the ground. I curse, wishing for Cameron above all of them. She could silence Cal, keep him contained long enough for me to find and destroy Samson. Instead, I have to do it myself. Keep him at bay, keep myself alive, and somehow root out the Miranda's whisper plaguing us both. Suddenly, navy blue blurs by at the edge of my vision. Long months in silver captivity have made me attuned to house colors. Lady Blonos drilled her knowledge into me, and now, more than ever, I thank her for it. I whirl, changing direction with a vengeance. Ash blonde hair darts through the silver soldiers, attempting to blend into their ranks. Instead, he stands out, his formal suit in sharp contrast to their military uniforms. Everything narrows to him. All my focus, all my energy. I throw what I can in his direction, losing jagged lightning upon Samson and the silver shield between us. His eyes lock on mine, and the lightning arcs like a cracking whip. He has the same eyes as Alara, the same eyes as Maven. Blue as ice, blue as flame. Cold and unforgiving. Somehow my electricity bends, curving around him. It slingshots away, rocketing in another direction. My hand swings with it, my body moving of its own accord as the lightning races at Cal. I try to shout out, even though warning a bewitched man will do nothing at all, but my lips don't move. Horror bleeds down my spine, the only sensation I can feel, not the ground beneath my feet, not the bite of new burns, not even the smoky air in my nose. It all disappears, wiped away, taken. Inside, I scream because Samson has me now. I can't make a sound. There is no mistaking the jagged brush of his brain against my mind. Cal blinks like someone waking up from a long sleep. He barely has time to react, lifting his arms to protect his head from the electric blow. Some of the jagged sparks turn to flame, manipulated by his ability. Most of them hit home, though, dropping him to his knees with a pained roar. "Samson!" he screams through gritted teeth. I realize my hand is moving, straying to my hip. It draws the pistol I took and puts steel to my temple. Samson's whispers rise in my head, threatening to drown out everything else. "Do it. Do it. Do it." I don't feel the trigger. I won't feel the bullet. Cal rips my arm back, spinning me away. He breaks my grip on the gun and tosses it across the tile. I've never seen him so afraid. "Kill him. Kill him. Kill him." My body obeys. I am a spectator in my own head, A furious battle rages before my eyes, and I can't do anything but watch. The tiled ground blurs as Samson makes me sprint, colliding head-on with Cal. I act as a human lightning rod, latching onto his armor, drawing electricity out of the sky to pour into him. Pain and fear cloud his eyes. His flame can only shield so much. I lunge, grabbing at his wrist, but the Flamemaker bracelet holds firm. Kill him. Kill him. Kill him. Fire pushes me back. I tumble end over end, shoulders and skull bouncing. The world spins, and dizzy limbs try to make me stand. Get up. Get up. Get up. Stay down, Mare! I hear from Cal's direction. His figure dances before me, splitting into three. I might have a concussion. Red blood pulses across the white tile. Get up. Get up. Get up. My feet move beneath me, pushing hard. I stand too quickly, nearly falling over again as Samson forces me into drunken steps. He closes the distance between my body and Cal's. I've seen this before, 1,000 years ago. Samson Mirandus in the arena, forcing another silver to cut up his own insides. He'll do the same to me, too, once he uses me to kill Cal. I try to fight, though I don't know where to start. Try to twitch a finger, a toe. Nothing responds. Kill him. Kill him. Kill him. Lightning erupts from my hand, spiraling toward Cal. It misses, off balance like my body. He sends an arc of fire in response, forcing me to dodge and stumble. Get up. Kill him. Get up. The whispers are sharp, cutting wounds across my mind. I must be bleeding in my brain. Kill him. Get up. Kill him. Through the flames, I see navy blue again. Cal stalks after Samson and skids to a knee, taking aim with a pistol of his own. Get up! Pain crashes through me like a wave, and I fall backward just as a bullet tears overhead. Another follows closer. On pure instinct, fighting the ringing in my bruised skull, I scramble to my toes. I move of my own volition. Shrieking, I turn Cal's fire to lightning, the red curls becoming purple-white veins of electricity. It shields me as Cal empties bullet after bullet in my direction. Behind him, Samson grins. Bastard, he's going to play us off each other for as long as it takes. I push the lightning as fast as I can, letting it splinter towards Samson. If I can break his concentration just for a second, it could be enough. Cal reacts, a puppet on strings. He shields Samson with his broad body, taking the brunt of my attack. Someone help! I shout to no one. We're only three people in a battle of hundreds, a battle turning one-sided. The silver ranks grow, fed by reinforcements from the barracks and the rest of the Archeon garrison. My 5 minutes have long passed. Whatever escape Krantz promised is long gone. I have to break Samson. I have to. Another bolt of lightning, this time across the ground in a flood. No dodging that. Kill him. Kill him. Kill him. The whispers return, pulling back the electricity with my own two hands. It arcs backward in a crashing wave. Cal drops and spins, throwing out his leg in a sweeping kick. It connects, sending Samson sprawling. His control of me drops and I push forward. Another electric wave. This one washes through them both. Cal curses, fighting back a yelp. Samson writhes and screams, a blood-curdling sound. He isn't used to pain. Kill him. The whisper is far away, weakening. I can fight it. Cal grabs Samson by the neck, pulling him up only to smash his head back down. Kill him. I slice a hand through the air, pulling lightning with it. It splits a gash in Samson from hip to shoulder. The wound spurts silver blood. Help me. Fire races down Samson's throat, charring his insides. His vocal cords shred. The only screaming I hear now is in my head. I bring lightning into his brain. Electricity fries the tissue in his skull like an egg in a pan. His eyes roll over white. I want to make it last longer, want to make him pay for what torture he gave to me and so many others. But he dies too quickly. The whispers disappear. It's done, I gasp aloud. Cal looks up, still kneeling over the body. His eyes widen, as if seeing me for the first time. I feel the same. I've been dreaming of this moment, wanting it for months and months. If not for the battle, for our precarious position wedged in the middle, I would wrap my arms around his neck and bury myself in the Fire Prince. Instead, I help him to his feet, throwing one of his arms over my shoulder. He limps, one leg a mess of muscle spasms. I'm hurt too, bleeding slowly from a tear in my side. I press my free hand to the wound. The pain sharpens. Maven is below the treasury. He has a train, I say, as we clamber away together. His arm tightens around me. He steers us toward the main gate, quickening his pace with every step.
I'm not here for Maven.
The gate looms, wide enough to allow three transports to drive through side by side. On the other side, the Bridge of Archaon spans the Capital River to meet the eastern half of the city. Smoke rises all over, reaching into the storm-black sky. I fight the urge to turn around and sprint for the treasury. Maven will be gone by now. He is beyond my reach. More military transports speed toward us, while air jets scream in our direction. Too many reinforcements to withstand.
What's the plan, then?
I mumble. We're about to be surrounded. The thought wears through my shock and adrenaline, sobering me up. All this for me. Bodies everywhere. Red and silver. What a waste. Cal's hands find my face, making me turn to look at him. In spite of the destruction around us, he smiles.
For once, we have one.
I see green out of the corner of my eye, feel another hand grab my arm, and the world squeezes to nothing.
19. Evangeline. He's late, and my heartbeat guns into overdrive. I fight the surge of fear, twisting it into fuel. Using the new energy, I shred apart the gilded frames holding portraits all down the palace hallway. The flecks of gold leaf twist into brutal, glinting shards. Gold is a weak metal, soft, malleable, useless in a true fight. I let them drop. I don't have the time or energy to waste on weak things. The pearly rhodium plates along my arms and legs vibrate with adrenaline, their mirror-bright edges rippling like liquid mercury, ready to become whatever I need to stay alive. A sword, a shield, a bullet. I'm not in direct danger, not right now, but if Tali isn't here in 1 minute, I'm going out there after him, and then I certainly will be. She promised, I tell myself. It sounds idiotic, the wish of a particularly foolish child. I should know better. The only bond in my world is blood. The only promise is family. A silver would smile and agree with another house and break their oath in the next heartbeat. Mare Barrow is not silver. She should have less honor than any of us. And she owes my brother, owes me, less than nothing. She would be justified in slaughtering us all. House Samos has not been kind to the Lightning Girl.
We have a schedule, Evangeline, Ren mutters next to me.
She cradles one hand against her chest, doing her best not to antagonize an already ugly burn. The skin healer wasn't fast enough to avoid all of Mare's returning ability. But she got the job done, and that's all that matters. Now the Lightning Girl is free to wreak as much havoc as she can. I'm giving him another minute. The hallway seems to stretch before me, growing longer with every second. On this side of the palace, we can barely hear the battle in the square. The windows look out on a still courtyard, with only dark storm clouds above. If I wanted to, I could pretend this was another day of my usual torment. Everyone smiling with their fangs, circling an increasingly lethal throne. I thought the end of the queen would mean the end of danger. It's not like me to underestimate a person's evils, but I certainly underestimated Maven. He has more of his mother in him than anyone realized, as well as his own kind of monster. A monster I no longer have to suffer,
thank my colors. Once we're back home, I'll send the Lakelander princess a gift for taking my place at his side. He'll be far away by now, fairy.